The end of the week on the Fan pregame SportsCenter, SportsCenter 590 The Fan for the next hour. We've got a couple guests lined up for you. We're going to go through the whole docket of sports tonight.
That's what we normally do. We run through the docket.
It's a Friday. We're going to talk football. We're going to talk football / soccer, whichever one you call. We're going to do some hockey. Kyle Bukowski is going to join us in about 10 minutes. Cynthia Freeland and James Sharman, lots to go through. We'll do some best bets to look at the NFL. Yeah.
And we got to tee up the 7th to last series for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, we have to do
this
that.
Season against the Atlanta Braves, of course.
You sound sad that it's 7th to last.
I'll miss it when it's gone.
Yeah.
I'll miss it when it's gone. But it seems right. That's, you know, we're reaching the end here of this Blue Jays season. I give credit to all those who've been covering it all year long because it is tough through the dog days and into meaningless September baseball. But again, we've got like a run on National League opponents, which is always a little bit refreshing, starting tonight with the Atlanta Braves and Alex Anthopoulos.
Every time we come in the studio after Blair and Barker, I'm like, they're the troopers. They're doing another series, another day of Blue Jays baseball. But it's a good one, as you mentioned. We'll get into some baseball a little later. That's a 7 o'clock start here on SportsCenter, SportsCenter 590 Fan right after us. But we mentioned we're going to have Kyle Bukowskis on in about 10 minutes, our newest 32 Thoughts, the podcast host, and of course, Hockey Night in Canada. We're going to chat through all that and more. But there's a new pod out with Elliot. Everybody can grab that wherever you get your podcasts. And they go through, 32 different thoughts and 32 different teams. And we're trying to scavenge what interested us. There's obviously a lot, but I think the one that we settled on in the end of the week in September, early September, was a Sidney Crosby-related discussion. Obviously, Sid's one of my favorite players growing up. What he's done for Canada, what he's done for the Penguins, that's certainly like one of, I think he's on a Mount Rushmore for me of my favorite hockey players. But it's a weird decision point for what Sid's going to do next. He's entering the final year of that 12-year deal that he signed with the Penguins. He was eligible to sign an extension on July 1st, and nothing's happened. And it's been a quiet offseason around what happens with Sidney Crosby. And is he going to play this entire season with a question mark above his head in terms of what's next? Is he going to get traded at the trade deadline? Like, there's a lot to go through, and Elliot and Kyle do a really great job at that. So we're going to pick at it.
Yeah, and as we should. And I think, Elliot Friedman's job is to definitely pick at it, of course. But it's an interesting and sort of isolated situation. Like, Sidney Crosby is sort of different than everyone else when we talk about what the priorities are, what is coming, why a contract hasn't been signed. And hey, maybe there's a deal in the works. You show up on day one of training camp and they just get things done. But it's Elliot's job to look at why it hasn't happened. And I guess his reasons, and you should listen to the first 32 thoughts with Kyle and Elliot. But he feels, Sidney, that is, that there's no rush. But also, and Elliot's talked to other players around the league about this, that Sidney Crosby still wants to win badly. And he's coming to grips with a roster turnover. And this has been happening for a long time. Like, Sidney Crosby shouldn't be surprised, because everybody around the league has known that, hey, Pittsburgh's in a bit of a decline here. And what is that going to mean for the rest of Sidney Crosby's career? And I guess when he's looking at these contracts that are on the table for him, whether it's 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and the money just changes by percentage of the salary cap, like, it's all there for Sidney Crosby to take if he wants. But he has to weigh the fact that the Penguins may not be a competitive team. And when you see the most, like, he might be, in addition to like one of our lifetime athletes and one of our favorite athletes, maybe the most competitive hockey player that we've seen in the NHL over the last 10, 15 years. So for that reason, the most competitive player maybe in the NHL is having to make a conscious decision right now, or this summer, or until next July, of being non-competitive. And I guess the reason and the question would be, for what? Why would Sidney Crosby choose to be non-competitive? There's the legacy aspect. Mm-hmm. There's loyalty. There's maybe future relationships and future business decisions with staying with Pittsburgh. But yeah, that's got to weigh on someone who doesn't want to be anywhere else, but it probably kills him. And I'm speaking for him, and maybe I shouldn't, but I think it does kill Sidney Crosby.
I think we can read between the lines a bit with knowing Sidney Crosby growing up his whole life, right? Like, you mentioned the loyalty thing.
He doesn't get to where he is without being that
100%.
Guy.
100%. And being one of the most competitive and driven athletes in the era that we've watched hockey, I think that being a Penguin for life matters almost equally to him as winning, because this decision,
apparently it does. Yeah.
This decision is, do I leave the Penguins, in which a place that I was drafted first overall in 05, and I've won 3 cups and 2 Art Ross and 2 Conn Smythes and 2 Hearts and 2 Rockets and 3 Ted Lindsays, et cetera. Like, he's got every accolade that he could ever want and have provided to that city. But again, they missed the postseason. They're 3 points out last year to keep them out of the postseason. They only have like less than $1 million in cap space right now to work with. And he's got his buddies Malkin and Carlson and some other people that are still there for another year or two, right? 2 or 3 seasons. So I think that it's like, in one hand, it's like the one angel and the devil on your shoulder. It's the opportunity to chase a cup, maybe go play for the Avs with his best friend, maybe go look for a team that's more competitive. But the other side of the shoulder is like Pittsburgh Penguin for life. You get to retire with that accolade that not many superstars get. Some people play for the same team their whole life, but do they win all those trophies and become arguably one of the greatest in that jersey ever? And that seems to be, you know, from everything that we can parse through, the biggest decision point. And I don't think, and we talked about this off the air, that anybody in Pittsburgh, and you can always, you know, correct us if you think we're wrong, would hold a grudge against Sidney Crosby, because he's given them everything. And at this point in his career, he just had another incredible season. He's 37. He had 94 points in 82 games. The year before that, he had 93 points in 82 games. And the year before that, he had 84 points in 69 games. He is still the best, top 2 or 3 on his team every single night. And so why can't he allow himself to go contribute on a cup-winning team? I want to see it, but I'm also torn as well.
I mean, it might be a different conversation if he doesn't have all those cups already, the Conn Smythe that he has already. Maybe he'd be more driven to go elsewhere, because he wouldn't want to walk away knowing, hey, I didn't do everything I could possibly do to get those Stanley Cups. He has them, and that probably makes a decision easier. I still don't think there's any chance he leaves. That's just me talking.
Any chance? You don't think there's any chance?
It's just my opinion. I don't think he will leave. Not zero, but pretty close to it. Pretty close to it.
There's a chance.
I mean, it would have to, I mean, obviously,
I think
it's his
there's a
decision.
Chance. I completely think there's a chance.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I am heartened to see that he isn't just mindlessly signing a contract, right? Like, he could just be like, yeah, give me the percentage of Connor McDavid or whatever you can give me. I can make as much money on this deal. You can't say no to me. Like, really, he has a lot of leverage in that way. I'm just glad that he's thinking about it, because Sidney Crosby owes it to himself to decide how competitive he's going to be. And if he just signs on the dotted line in Pittsburgh and Kyle Dubas and a management team that's not even a management team, an ownership group that has a lot under its umbrella and is thinking about making money just as much as it's winning championships, I hope he just doesn't let everybody make the decisions for him. And that he can go in and decide, yeah, you know, being a Penguin means more than winning another Stanley Cup. And if that makes that decision, that's fine. I just hope that, you know, this pause, that he hasn't done anything since July 1, is that he's actually thinking about what is best for him over the last, over the 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever, how many he's going to play.
We took a look at the Penguins roster before he came on, and I mean, it's not star-studded at all. There's a lot of replacement level mid-tier players, and then there's Sidney Crosby, who wills that team into the cusp of being on the playoffs once again. And I like, the cusp isn't good enough, obviously, for Crosby, but imagine this trade deadline where Penguins are out of it, or they're, you know, they're a disaster, and he,
which they may not be,
well, just imagine this trade deadline, and he's eligible to get traded. Like, that would be awesome for us.
Yeah, it'd be fun to talk about.
Yeah, or this offseason.
It is fun to talk about Sidney Crosby going elsewhere, yeah, for sure.
Okay, and obviously, I think the top of the list has got to be to play with Nathan MacKinnon in Colorado.
Boyhood team in Montreal.
That's an interesting one.
I don't, again, maybe he's thinking about it, maybe he's not. But yeah, it would be unbelievably fun to talk about an alternative. Mm. And what is decidedly less fun is talking about him wasting the final years.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens.
And I think, I mean, it's different with Ovi, but seeing last year with the Caps and the Penguins, like, battling it out still, and Ovi's chasing his own Ovi's got his own goals, mm-hmm. right? Which is literally to score goals.
It is different for whatever reason. It is different.
Though. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because we're Canadian and we like have hooked on to Sidney Crosby.
And I think the carrot of the goal scoring is like enough to satisfy everybody.
Mm. Like Ovi. If Ovi gets his goals, and I don't know if it's this season, but maybe the early in the following season. But, you know, we already think that the Caps will just rebuild right away and there's no question about it. But yes, the Sidney Crosby sweepstakes or not will be something we'll be following.
And he should know quickly before we bring on Kyle, like he played at an MVP caliber level. Maybe sure it didn't measure up to the guys who finished in the top three, but it was MVP caliber and it meant nothing in mm-hmm. terms of team success. That is not how it's supposed to go. An MVP performance should lend itself to at least some measure of success. And despite whatever metric you want to pull, goal differential, whatever, it didn't. And Sidney Crosby still has to keep that level. And what is that even going to mean if he keeps that level? Because you can't do it all yourself.
All right, from one grade to another, Kyle Bukauskas joining us, the newest host of 32,000 Podcast, of course, and from Hockey Night in Canada. Kyle, how are you? Thanks for coming on.
Hey, I'm good, gang. I've got my hair inspired by Elliot Friedman t-shirt here.
There you go.
So I'm locked in, ready to go. Nice to see you both.
Good to see you as well. So let's talk about, obviously, the great opportunity you've got here with 32 Thoughts, the podcast. We heard your newest pod that came out. Like, working with Elliot, you guys obviously have a special relationship. So tell us about the feelings that you have to be alongside Elliot on such a successful podcast for us.
Yeah, I was just really flattered that he reached out to me. As I mentioned on the first episode that came out this morning, like, of course, you hate the whole circumstances around it all. I think the world of Jeff Merrick, and I've been a loyal listener of the show since it started back in 2017. But you know, the opportunity to get to work with Elliot on a more regular basis and just having an understanding, certainly over the last few years here, like the reach that mm-hmm. podcast has generated, and how many hockey fans and those just in the space of it all listen. I just there was no way I was going to say no to it. So I've always enjoyed like my time hanging out with Elliot on the road when I see him at certain points during the year. A lot of good conversations, standing in line waiting for ice cream at various places. And now it's just it's a more regular and longer form version of that. So I, as I said on X there this morning, it's not lost to me like just how loyal that audience is there. It's something I've never done before. Like, I'm so used to television where you've got a minute max to get your point across. Everything is timed and trying to get your story in as relatively short as possible because it's all about the game. So now to shift gears and be a little more longer form, it's going to be a challenge, but one that I think comes at the right time and just really, really thrilled to be part of it.
You guys should keep the mics on during those ice cream runs. It might make for some good content. I'm not sure if you've already got these lined up, but you know, you're in the rinks, you're talking to players on a daily basis with your gig here at Sportsnet. If you had to pick a player to be the first guest on the pod featuring Kyle Bukauskas, which player are you pulling?
Yeah, well, it's not featuring me, that's for sure. I know this is definitely at most it's 50-50, and I still think naturally it shades more Elliot's way, as it should. But you know what, I think so we're going to Vegas next week, and I believe at this time I think Sid is our first scheduled guest. Okay. And it's going to be like early in the morning, which we both kind of laughed at when we saw. So I don't know if it's him trying to stay on Eastern time and going through his routine while he's out in Vegas. But that's I'm really looking forward to. I heard you guys just mm-hmm. touching on it a little bit here before I came on. Like, the fact that he's 1 year left in his contract and unsigned. It's fascinating in a lot of ways, but we just really love to get a sense of kind of where he's at with everything, because, man, what a great ambassador of the game that he's been. And you talked about how great of a season he had. And the fact that, I mean, they were dead in the water, sell off all that they did at the deadline and like nearly climbed themselves back into the race and were kind of in it right down to the final week of the year. And he was the proprietary reason behind it.
Yeah, that's a perfect first interview. I mean, we're just kind of debating like the pros and cons of Sidney Crosby playing only his career with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And it feels like from outsider's view, and we're no insiders here, is that he really values being a Penguin for life. And even though there's an opportunity, I'm sure any team would love to have him, to go wear a different jersey, it seems like loyalty is what Sidney Crosby is stuck between, chasing a cup and loyalty. So you'll have to get to the bottom of it for us when you guys head to Vegas. Let's talk about some other things that have gone on in the NHL as well, because we want to get to all 32 teams. No, I'm just kidding. yeah. Let's talk about...
This is a long first podcast.
This is your first podcast with Justin and I. Okay, so Leon Draisaitl, obviously this was a big piece of news last week. I wonder for you, when you're looking at the ripple effect, you know, the ripple effect just within the Edmonton Oilers, we'll start with that. Connor McDavid, you know, there's questions and there's teases that maybe he'd want to play here, closer to home in Toronto. We saw the photos with Austin Matthews. But when Draisaitl commits long-term, do you think that means that it's more likely for McDavid to commit long-term?
Yeah, and in fact, I asked Elliot that exact question, Ailish, on the podcast that came out today. And, you know, the answer has to be yes. Like, I totally understand. Like, when he did his media after he signed his contract, Leon, I'm speaking of, and he said, look, I got to worry about me, and Connor's going to do his thing. Of course he's not going to speak about his teammates' business at that time. I totally get it. But there's no way that there isn't conversation between the two of those guys saying, where do we see this all going? So the fact that Leon's committed for the long haul, 8 years beyond the current season that's upcoming, I mean, it has to mean that barring something going completely haywire, Connor McDavid is going to follow suit in a year from now. I believe, because for both of them, it would make total sense if they look at, well, what's the best chance for us to win here long term? It's probably with us continuing to be teammates here in Edmonton. And when you look at, you know, what they've been able to accomplish as a team the last little bit and how close they got last year, it kind of all adds up to them, you know, sticking around, which is a great thing for the market there. They've got a world-class arena and facility and the atmosphere. It was talked about a lot during the playoffs. And I think of, you know, game six when they knocked off Dallas to punch their ticket, game six against Florida to force a deciding game in the final. You know, those are environments that I'm going to remember for a long time. I can only imagine what the players feel. And Leon talked about it too. Like, you know, the fact that they're doing this together, that a lot of those players have grown up together. They've been teammates for a long time. Having the chance to work with Craig Simpson now for a lot of years, and he was part of those Oilers teams in the 80s, won a cup with them in 88, and again in 90 after Gretzky was no longer part of the fold there. But he's talked about, like, just the family aspect of it all, right? Like, everyone knew each other's moms and dads and wives and girlfriends, brothers and sisters, the young kids that came into the building. And Draisaitl talked about that too, how the other people, the extended family members, have really gotten to know each other over time. And I know they still haven't won and accomplished the ultimate goal yet, but that's all part of eventually getting to that point. So I really enjoyed, you know, what he had to say and his reasoning behind why he ultimately did sign the 8-year contract extension in Edmonton. And certainly it's easy to look at, you know, how much money that's coming his way and say, well, of course he's going to sign on the dotted line. But certainly it does go beyond that. I firmly believe for him, and can only mean good things for when someone like Connor is due next summer.
Yeah. Major, major sigh of relief, I would say, from everybody in Edmonton seeing that, because, you know, the expectation is that it means something even more than that, which is, you know, re-signing the best player maybe that's ever played hockey. So that's pretty good for the Edmonton Oilers. Pretty good, I think, for the Montreal Canadiens grabbing Patrick Laine this offseason. I think one of the most interesting moves of the offseason, because it definitely brings some juice. This is one of the most, I guess, polarizing figures in hockey right now, given that he showed such great potential, has had lows, but has had those real high highs. That's an impressive top six, impressive scoring group there in Montreal, but they're still waiting to take the next step. They got a lot of young defensemen. You know, the roster's kind of set in a way with Patrick Laine, but is it good enough to get Montreal into even that next year where they're pushing for a postseason spot this year?
I think they can certainly push. And frankly, I thought, you know, looking back last year, maybe it would have been tough to say, you know, post-trade deadline, would they still have been in the mix? But they got hit with a ton of injuries, like long-term stuff, right? Like Kirby Dach effectively missed the entire year. Alex Newhook missed a ton of time. But with the emergence of Slafkovský, I think that was the single most important thing to come out of last season for Montreal. Elliot went to the European Player Media Tour, spent some time with Slafkovský there. He said he looks jacked, like incredibly good shape, ready to go for another season. He gets his contract this summer as well. I think there's a lot to like there. Is it enough? Like I do believe like they had good goaltending. I know there was, you know, it became tough with the three-man system and where things were ultimately going to shake out. Jake Allen eventually was traded to New Jersey. But Sam Montembeault has become a find for them, and Caden Primo had some pretty good starts down the stretch there. So if they can at least give them a chance, they continue to have good health. Like, I'm with you. I like the way they look up front. Fascinated to see, you know, we've seen examples already of how Martin St. Louis has managed to unlock certain things for some of the players that have come in through there, and now having a chance to work with Patrick Laine, who seems to be in a much better place mentally with his life and well-being, which is great to see. And the fact that he said, look, I'm not just about wanting to be a 30-goal guy again. You know, I want to contribute more because, as he said, he has done it in the past and believes that he can get back there. And I think, you know, this could potentially be a really great place for him to do that because, yes, it is a big market that can generate a lot of noise when things aren't going great, but this is still a team that's managed to temper some expectations. I still think there's a certain degree of understanding and patience from the fan base. But if they're putting themselves in a position where you come into the last month of the year and go, look, they're not out of this yet, that could mean for some real exciting times in Montreal that have waited a little while to taste that again. I know, I mean, the cup run in 2021, but it was so different, of course, with empty buildings and you know, 8,000-9,000 at the peak towards the end. That place, as you both know, can be a real special place to watch a game of hockey. So there's lots to be, I think, positive of. Are they a slam dunk playoff team? I'm not prepared to say that, but you know, barring some much better luck on the injury front for them, I think it's going to be a different story. And then also, I mean, think about their blue line too. Like how many young guys are coming along the way, whether it's Elaine Hudson or Logan Mailloux or even a guy like David Reinbacher. Like how much noise is he going to generate through training camp? Lots of things to keep an eye on out there.
Yeah, that first game at the Bell Center between them and the Leafs, you got Laine and Matthews, that rivalry be reignited. I think it's going to be a fun one for us to cover. Kyle, we appreciate you coming on. I know it's been a busy week. Congratulations again. And we're looking forward to lending your ear many times this season now. I think it's part of your contract that you have to come on with us all the time. So I just made
yes.
that
up. Yes, even if not contractually obligated, okay. I'm more than happy to
Perfect.
Join you both. So
awesome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Kyle. Enjoy your weekend. It's Kyle Bukauskas, a 32 Thoughts podcast and Hockey Night
in Canada. Sounds like it's not in the contract.
He's like, I didn't read that.
That was
you
not
guys,
stated
what?
Anywhere.
He's like, is DocuSign still open?
he's recovering files as we speak.
Yeah, that's a good one. We're weeks away. We're weeks away from preseason, and that's going to be fun. We'll be back doing some Leafs games.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be awesome to be back in the arena to see everybody up close and personal. But yeah, it's right around the corner. Lots to go through. We have our text line open at 590-590. You can always shoot us a text with standard message and data rates apply about our Crosby discussion. Like, put yourself in Crosby's shoes. What would you do? I mean, there's nothing on the table that we know of another offer, but would you just say, you know what, I'm not signing? Put me on a cup contender. How would it work?
I feel like you're trying to wish it into existence.
No, I'm wishing some content into existence. How about that?
Before we go to break, I'll give my best bet because it's Blue Jays related. Your best bet will come from the NFL game tonight. So in our last minute here. Yeah, Blue Jays in Atlanta, start of a 3-game set. As I mentioned, 7th to last series. We're getting to the end. Kevin Gausman versus Max Fried. Opponents scored 21 times against Max Fried in 6 August starts. Gausman has found himself almost exclusively in high scoring games, the last one notwithstanding. The over under is
like
at just 7.5. So I'm going over 7.5 Blue Jays and Braves tonight. I think even though those are two biggish name pitchers in Gausman and Fried, I think this one flies over.
Okay, I love it. We're going to split our second block up with two guests, James Sharman, and first up will be Cynthia Freeland, help us set it up for NFL Week 1 last night. And again, tonight, we're spoiled. More football. And I'll give my best bets as well. We'll be right back on the Fan Pregame.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back on the Fan Pregame, Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan spoiled, as I said before we went to break, two nights of football. Friday night, it's rare, very, very rare, and it's in Brazil. So the, even
just
more
give
so.
Us a Friday game. I know it's against the rules. I know there's like laws and provisions preventing the NFL from being on every night. But if you just want to do Fridays too,
you
have
think?
It. Have it.
You don't think it would take away from the standalone like Thursday night football is got his own flavor. Monday
I will
night
say,
football's got
it took
its own
a while
flavor.
For people to warm up to Thursday night football, but now I think everyone loves it.
I think it would take away, well, not, I still say do it, but Thursday night football gives you that like craving, you satisfies it a little bit, like a snack
it's
before
appetizer. It's like
Sunday.
An appetizer that's brought out too quickly. There's a big long wait.
Yeah, you're getting hungry, but then you're so hungry for Sunday, 1 o'clock slate. But if you have Thursday, Friday, it loses the value of the Thursday.
I think we'd manage.
I think we'd be okay. I would overindulge, and I'd be full. But yeah, last night's game. Oh, I mean, okay. So quickly, before we get Cynthia on, it was a full that final play.
Like it was an outstanding game. I don't know
the
if it was
Chiefs
the best
always find
game.
A way, don't they?
They really do.
It's spooky about them.
Are you? Yeah. You're calling shenanigans?
No, no. I mean, his toe was over the line.
It was.
But, like, it's like,
but
come
I heard
are
people,
you,
serious? You know, Spagnuolo called the timeout.
Well, that
like,
is true.
Roquan Smith hit Patrick Mahomes out of bounds twice in a row, didn't get a flag. Well, I'm just saying, like, people, like, there's no work if you're not calling that on Patrick
what,
Mahomes.
What I appreciated was
Brady got touched his entire career. Yeah, we're getting true. Flags.
When the play, which eventually gets called back at the very end, the we're going for two.
That was
like,
pretty awesome.
Locked in on my couch, ready for this to be an all-timer. And of course, you know, with the, it's like the offside review in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you could tell his toe
but
was
seeing,
over the line.
Seeing John Harbaugh's hand was actually like, I liked the fact that
I
knew they
up.
Were going for
oh, I was
it.
Fired up.
Even if it was taken off. Like it
you
was
think
like,
they would have got it?
I
think they would
have. Downs were, oh yeah, I think so too. I mean, Lamar was in like a weird groove where it was just like, yeah, he missed Say Flowers for an automatic game winner, or I guess if they converted the 2-point conversion. And there were some ups and downs, but when he is forced to just scramble and his O-line is like faltering a little bit and the pressure's on and he can just like be peak Lamar Jackson, they get into like it is a sight to behold. But it also felt in that moment unstoppable. Like it was the classic Chiefs game against a great team where you got the ball last, you're going to win because Mahomes is going to do it. And it looked like Lamar was going to do it too. But again, those shoes might have been a little too big.
Didn't Patrick Mahomes say, should have worn white shoes because the line was white?
Could have helped a little bit.
Could have helped. But no, you could tell his toe was over the line.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, we got Eagles Packers tonight. As we said, this one's in Brazil, which is like eight. I don't know. I like the idea of playing games in all sports internationally, you know, grow the game, let other fan bases of other.
You're down on Brazil?
Well, I don't know. We'll see after today. How about that?
I mean, I guess it's
let
some
it play out before I say I don't like
There's
it.
There's definitely some unknown. And it's weird that, like, I understand Jacksonville going to London and they've made it actually a big advantage for the Jaguars going to London because, yeah, there's a lot of familiarity there. But it feels weird that the Eagles got a home game taken away.
See, that's what I was saying. It would suck to be the fan base of the team that's losing the home game, not only the revenue, but like the home field advantage in a sense. And these
but NFL fan bases, too, are so strong that I am sure.
Oh, there'll be a lot of them there.
There's probably a lot of Packers fans
But
there.
Brazil is far.
It's far.
It's not, you know, just down
that's
the road.
A long flight.
It's a hike.
That's a trip. That's not even London. That is a trip.
I wonder how. Yeah, the circumstances will just affect today's game. Like, if you're thinking overs and unders and the pace of play, like, it's a far ways to travel for a football game. And these teams had very different trajectories at the end of last season, right? So, I mean, I'll tease it now because we're waiting to get Cynthia. I'm big on tonight. I'm big on Jordan Love. I'm I'm buying some of this hype because Dan Shulman is a big Packers fan.
Yeah.
And I
and
was
our buddy Joe Bowen.
And Joe Bowen.
We're surrounded by Packers.
We are kind of like getting infiltrated.
Yeah.
It's like I'm hearing it. But yeah, Jordan Love, my best bet is three plus passing touchdowns tonight. It's not really like a great value, to be honest, plus 235. But he finished as one of the hottest quarterbacks last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Eagles secondary is terrible. I believe they were 31st last year in giving up passing touchdowns. So I think I could see this happening tonight. Maybe a high scoring, maybe sloppy, but I think Jordan Love gets a lot of hype and deservedly so. I'm excited to see how this one goes off tonight. So that would be my best bet for the football game tonight.
Yeah, I'm a little reticent because there are some unknowns, right? It feels like, hey, what's the turf going to be like in Brazil?
Well,
what is like everything going to look like, feel like? Will it be a normal game?
You're not allowed to wear green.
They're not allowed to wear green, which means we're seeing a different uniform combination,
for both.
I believe. Yeah, I guess for both, because you got to eliminate the green. All green? All green has to be eliminated?
I believe there is no green.
I guess we're
going
to find out. But how can either of these teams enter their flow states like Lamar Jackson if they're not wearing their patented green? Yeah, I'm just going to – I do have a play. It's an easy teaser leg. I like the Packers anyway. They're being given 2 points. Tease that up to 8. They can lose by a touchdown or a field goal, and you're still in the money. You know, parlay that up with Cincinnati teaser just to win against the New England Patriots. And I think you got yourself a good bet for the weekend. But yeah, I don't really know how to approach this game because of those unknowns. I think, though, if you love Jordan Love tonight, you got to be thinking MVP a little bit because if he's going to go off against this team. I mean, you know, the NFC is wide open. Green Bay, there's a lot of people who are bullish on them and rightfully so. Like, if he's going to go off tonight, I feel like you could see that number shorten right away because everyone's going to watch him cook a really good team in primetime. So maybe you put part of that unit on a little MVP action for Jordan Love.
Yeah, well, I felt good about my last night's Lamar's my fantasy football quarterback, so I was feeling good about that. But I don't really have much going on in terms of tonight, just fan viewing. I'm excited to just be a fan tonight. Okay, we're going to... we're going to pivot shortly to Cynthia, as we mentioned, but a big slate of football on Sunday. Like, what's the game that you got dialed in here? Well, I mean, obviously every single game, but is there one that you really want to watch?
Yeah, I think the one I really want to watch is Monday. Not to dodge the question.
No, it's
on Sunday. But yeah, can Aaron Rodgers like?
You're really so intrigued about Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
I don't blame
because
you.
It's like it is. We're talking about variables tonight in Brazil. This is the key variable of the entire NFL season. If Aaron Rodgers is MVP caliber Aaron Rodgers, is close to MVP caliber Aaron Rodgers, he completely transforms a team that has been just kicked around for the better part of the last, what, 2 decades, has been an absolute non-entity for at least the last 10 years. The New York Jets have been absolutely irrelevant in the NFL for a long time, but they've built a really good roster. And they've been searching for a quarterback, and Aaron Rodgers is a surefire Hall of Famer, former MVP, won an MVP just a couple of years ago. If he can give them competent, and better than competent, because Aaron Rodgers isn't just competent, if he can give them great quarterbacking, it changes everything in a division, potentially a conference, and certainly for one of the most downtrodden NFL teams going in the New York Jets. So I'm very, very interested in Monday night, waiting on bated breath. Okay, let's bring in our first guest of the second block, Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network, NFL Data Science. Cynthia, thanks for jumping on. Let's talk a little bit about last night. How did you see it? Did you see the Chiefs, you know, reasserting dominance in the NFL and over Baltimore? Or when you see the Ravens have that comeback and potentially should have, if it weren't for this game of inches, potentially pulled the upset last night, Ravens with reason to believe based on what we saw yesterday?
I mean, both kind of. You know, I expected the Chiefs to come out swinging because this is a team with a lot of continuity. They have 15. That always helps. And they really restocked the shelves in areas that they needed. I mean, Xavier Worthy, we didn't know he was going to score a rushing touchdown, but you knew he was going to be good for at least a deep pass or two, and that stretched the defense. Didn't necessarily – I wasn't planning on 2 touchdowns for him last night, but, you know, that was even better. But I think both, like, you know, I think the Ravens, I mean, Isaiah Likely was this, like, happy surprise. I think we're all a little surprised that it wasn't more Mark Andrews or et cetera. And, you know, they had a couple open looks in the end zone. So that was actually the matchup that I was expecting, right? Maybe, you know, I wasn't expecting, you know, a toe to determine it, but.
What did you make of the first appearance of Derrick Henry with his newest team? Because I think there's a lot of hype around this. We hyped it up all day yesterday before our show, and maybe it's not going to be, like, super seamless in day one, and that's growing pains in a sense. Where can he take this team if once things get cooking for him?
I mean, I think the thing that's more interesting about this team is how's the O-line going to – like, this is a different O-line than we've seen from them. This is the most change along that front that they've had in, I don't even know how many years, but at least five. So that really reflects, like, you know, a lot of differences in, you know, what they're able to run, how much time they have. The timing is everything. And I think Derrick Henry really helps every – you know, those zone read looks are going to be really amazing. It's like Cam Newton circa whatever that year. Cam Newton was good, right? 20 – whatever. So long story short is, you know, I think it's going to end up being great. But I do think, you know, between the O-line and adding Derrick Henry, I don't know which one's more kind of influencing what we saw. But, I mean, obviously Derrick Henry ran pretty darn well.
Indeed he did. Let's look ahead to tonight. A lot of variables. It's in Brazil, and we've got two teams who have maybe not different upshots, but they definitely ended last season in different situations. But I want to focus with you on Jordan Love, because it feels like everyone just kind of made the decision that he's elite, and we saw elite play, obviously, but it seems like no one's really pushing back on that. I mean, you break down the numbers. What is it when you look at the numbers that displays, or does it indicate that Jordan Love has elevated and is in that elite tier of NFL quarterbacks?
Well, I wouldn't call him elite yet. You know, to me, elite is reserved for guys like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, who have proven it longer than half a season, or I guess he really started to get better and better after their week six bye last season. So I don't know, a tiny bit more than a half of a season's worth of data is not enough data. I'm not saying he's not elite or won't become elite. I'm just saying it's not there yet. You know, I think it's smart to pay someone, because the reality is there aren't even 32 starting caliber quarterbacks in the world. So, you know, it doesn't get any less expensive if you wait. But, you know, it doesn't mean that he is, like, that's the market, man. It's not necessarily that he's, like, so elite. Like, that E word is, to me, no way. Like, I love Jared Goff. I think Jared Goff deserves the money, too. I wouldn't call him elite either.
We're chatting with Cynthia Freeland. We got another game tonight and then a big Sunday and Monday. So for you're looking ahead here on the weekend, is there a matchup that's difficult for you to predict? Because I know you're the numbers gal. So what one has been showing a little bit harder to find a favorite or find a result when you're looking at some of the games still to come in week one?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I'm going to get from this Cowboys and Cleveland tilt. Truly, like, you know, we haven't seen CeeDee Lamb, and they haven't had that chemistry time to build yet, and that O-line is different, new, challenging, not as good as it's forecast and not be as good as we've seen in years past. And I don't know what to expect from them. And it's also like Mike Zimmer plays a completely different type of defense than Dan Quinn. But then on the other side, like, we haven't seen Deshaun Watson in like years. I mean, I know he's played a couple of games here and there, but, you know, I have no idea what he's going to do. And, you know, Jerome Ford showed us he could run the football. I mean, he led the team last year with 813 yards and four touchdowns, but that's because Nick Chubb was hurt, and now you got your tackles back, which forecast to be better. Starting tackles always better than, you know, not starting tackles. So I just don't know what I'm going to see there, because I know two of the most ferocious pass rushers in the league on both of those defenses, and Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett. I don't know, man. That one feels like you could flip a coin 10 times, and you could get 5 and 5, and that is what you would see.
Last one for you, Cynthia. Let's say Aaron Rodgers is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL this year. What does that mean for the New York Jets?
Lots of good things. The East is really interesting. I ran a bunch of simulations, and, you know, between the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Bills, it's kind of like, well, it's one of those three. You know, and they all forecast to have 10 wins or more for me, which is also kind of amazing. But the interesting part about Aaron Rodgers is, you know, that's a very elite defense. And if you add even 75% Aaron Rodgers to that defense, then you're getting something that is pretty incredible. And that's kind of something, like, you can't say that about the Bills. They're missing their two safeties that were incredibly dynamic and wonderful. And also, you know, Matt Milano being gone is huge. And then when I'm looking at the Dolphins, they have defensive injuries that are really going to be hard to overcome. I mean, there's a guy that's now playing for the Raiders. There's another guy that literally just signed his contract, today? And, you know, that's pretty massive changes there. Not to say that he's out of shape or anything, but, you know, I don't know what to expect, you know?
Yeah, and that's the excitement of a whole NFL season ahead. We have lots of learning to come. Cynthia, we appreciate you jumping on. Enjoy tonight's game, and the rest of the season, we'll definitely chat with you soon.
You got it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network, NFL Data Science and Numbers game, of course. Yeah, things are kicking off again just in a few hours in Brazil. So lots to come.
Indeed they are. Let's switch gears from football to football with James Sharman, Footy
Different
Prime
football.
Pod. A couple friendlies coming for the Canadian men's national team against the USA this weekend, and Mexico to start early next week. So an important time to catch up with James. James, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Really good, thanks. How you doing?
We are doing well. Of course, you know, with anything, it seems Canada's soccer, we got to talk a little bit about Dronegate,
and
players
again, eh?
Being asked about the use of drones. Yeah, we probably shouldn't, but, you know, players being asked and grilled about this issue, it just in your opinion, is that fair?
Listen, we're members of the media, right? I think we have to ask the questions. It's okay. They don't need to answer the questions. I think they are, you know, they're kind of the collateral damage in all of this, their reputations. It's not fair. But I understand why they're being asked the questions. I understand why Jesse Marsh has been asked the questions. And until the independent investigation concludes, which I believe should be pretty soon, they'll keep asking those questions. And we'll find out just how far this thing went back. Who's going to be responsible, sanctioned beyond Beth Priestman. But it is, for Canada, it's part of the news cycle, right? I don't think it's that big a deal outside of Canada, maybe in the States at the moment, given that Canada's playing the States on Saturday. But overall, it will go away eventually. But I understand we shouldn't be complaining when these people are asked questions because, listen, it is a hot-button topic right now.
Okay, more exciting hot-button topics is newest midfielder Nico Sigur choosing Canada. Mm-hmm. Parents of Croatian descent. He was a starter for Croatia's U21 team. This is awesome. Everyone's really fired up about this guy. So how does this change, like, Canada's, I guess, like, strength in the midfield, a young kid that wants to wear the Canadian flag?
Yeah, I mean, this kind of came from left field, right? Mm-hmm. Those people that followed it extremely closely knew he was on the radar, obviously. But he's a player that played for Croatia youth level, mm-hmm. various youth levels. In most recent times, playing for Hajduk Split, a really big team in Croatia, one of the great teams there, and playing important minutes. So a player that most people thought, well, yeah, he's from Burnaby, but he'll play for Croatia one day. So for him to say, no, actually, I like Canada, it is a real boost to this team moving forward. And I think for that midfield in particular, we'll see. He should get minutes the next couple of games. Jesse Marsh has said that. He won't be cap-tied per se because they're friendlies. But he'll get some minutes. And at the base of that midfield, in a holding role, that's an area that Canada needs some depth, some strength. So who knows if he'll be there at the World Cup and beyond, but it looks very promising at this point. And anytime you get a player playing meaningful minutes at a good league in European football, it's a good thing, right? And depth is key. I think even you compare Canada to the States, for example, on Saturday, the States have such great depth. Canada hasn't quite got that at the moment, although it's better than perhaps we thought it was. So I think Nico Sigur coming aboard is a huge, huge boost to this team, and it's very exciting.
Is this just one of maybe several? Is this a big priority
yes.
here for Jesse Marsh to find these dual nationals, guys that can choose to wear the Canadian flag? Should we consider Sigur one of many?
Yeah, I mean, dual national is the cool new term in Canadian soccer, right? absolutely. Stephen Afrifa is a player that's been called up as well from Sporting KC, having a nice season in MLS. He might get some minutes the next little while as well. And, you know, Jesse Marsh said this in his first press conference. He's reinforced it several times since then. Getting dual nationals aboard is so important for this team, for this whole setup. So players like Luka Kolyosho, at Burnley, Dan Jeberson, who's right now at Watford. These guys have been on the radar for some time. They are yet to commit, but we could see them very, very soon. Canada's attractive suddenly, right? Mm. Way more than ever before. They've got a manager with real swagger saying, why can't we be great? They've got a team that got to the later rounds of Copa America, playing a really fun, brand of football. It's cool to be Canadian in soccer circles once and for all, finally. So I think that's what Jesse Marsh says, and speaking to Alistair Johnson this week as well, same thing, you know, players want to play for Canada. You know, it's a pretty great place to be right now, especially with the World Cup at home on the horizon.
Seager can help shepherd in a bunch of new talent, at least we hope. Okay, so two friendlies coming up here, an international break. We got the USA this weekend, Mexico next week. What matters here other than getting these tools or get Seager acclimated? You know, what's priority one for Jesse Marsh? What should we expect? What is this team preparing for at the moment?
Yeah, it's all for the World Cup at this point. Listen, these are friendlies. And generally speaking, friendlies don't offer us very much, to the point where the Nations League was invented by FIFA to make that there'd be far fewer friendlies in the football calendar. You know, it's a more meaningful games. But for this one in particular, a team like Canada coming through Copa America, can they maintain that momentum? They surprised everyone, right, since Jesse Marsh arrived. He was really thrown in the deep end. He had that France game, he had the Netherlands, and then Copa America, right? And we all thought this team could be 0-6, 0-7 to start his reign. Instead, they played great football, so maintaining that. That's being said, there's still some issues with this team. Right up front, haven't scored that many goals. John David, who's proven a wonderful striker, hasn't really played that great from a goal scoring standpoint for his country for some time. Can the back four, you know, led by Derek Cornelius, Moise Bembido, continue their form they showed at Copa America? So there's a lot riding, I think, on these two games. But I mean, listen, it's not so much about the results, it's about blooding players, getting heavy rotation in there, letting Jesse Marsh learn more about his players as well. So of course you want to beat the States, of course you want to beat Mexico. But in the grand scheme of things, it's all about 2026 and the World Cup.
Last one for you. We got about a minute, James. The captain of Canada is Alphonso Davies. He's back at Bayern Munich. He's played and appeared twice for the German side. It wasn't certain that he was going to go back there, at least it seemed, throughout the summer transfer window and all the speculation about, you know, a future move. Is Bayern the best place for him right now?
Man, it's tough to say it's not. I mean, it's Bayern Munich, right? They're going to win a championship. They didn't win last year, so they're going to win this year because they always win something. It's very rare that this team fails. And last year, what was a freak season where Bayer Leverkusen went unbeaten throughout the entire campaign. I think he fits really well there. That said, when Real Madrid come calling, and that is the rumor, it's very hard to say no to Real Madrid and what they're doing right now with their recruitment policy, as in get as many young great world-class players as possible. Would he fit into that team? Absolutely. But as he gets closer to the end of his contract, you know, he could walk for free. He could get moved in January. It'd be a fascinating season for him. And how the whole relationship with Bayern Munich works right now. Their president's made some pretty pointed comments about the contract situation, about Alphonso Davies. But this is a kid who is wildly ambitious and confident. He would love to play in Real Madrid, I'm sure. But quite honestly, Bayern Munich is one of the top three or four clubs in world soccer. Why not stay there?
If it is Madrid, very, very quick, because we got to let you go, James. Yes. Like, can he fit into that squad? Is he going to play enough? Like, is Real? Like, I asked the question, being like, okay, Bayern. Like, yeah, he plays at Bayern, but if he goes to Madrid, like, would he play? Would he fit into that 11 routinely?
Yes.
Yeah,
I think he would. I mean, left back. Listen, they've got world class players everywhere, right? But left back's one area where they could potentially strengthen. Mm. Not that they're weak there, and playing on the same side as Kylian Mbappe. I mean, there's Olympic 100-meter finalists right there on the left wing.
Yeah.
Right? It's crazy. I think he'd fit in there beautifully.
Yeah, sign me up for that. I mean, that'd be very, very fun to see Alphonso Davies and Kylian Mbappe working together on a weekly basis. We appreciate you coming on, James. We'll do this again soon. Two big matches coming up. You know, big for friendlies, but big matches nonetheless. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, James.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy that.
Team Sharman at the Footy Prime Pod on a Friday night at 6:55. Appreciate jumping on. Really close to the weekend. It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
The people that we get for our very last guest of the week, like they're waiting to start their weekend.
And they're dedicated. They like Kyle Bukowskis signed a contract somewhere.
Yeah, they did.
And they can't.
They did.
They can't.
So Canada USA tomorrow, that's 4 p.m. start, and that's in Kansas City. And then Canada Mexico, that is September 10th, which would be Tuesday. And that's a 8:30 p.m. start. That one's in Arlington, Texas. So yeah, good to see some fresh blood. If you got passports out there, like you're like, listen, you're like, I could play for Canada. This is we're scavenging for
it's
you
a little
now.
Weird though, isn't it?
No, it's not weird.
You don't
He's
think
Canadian.
It's a little weird? Like he is.
He's Canadian.
He is. He's from Burnaby, right?
Burnaby? So get out, like, get the jersey on, folks.
But he like played for Croatia at one point.
Who cares?
Anyway, I'm not arguing. It's just
he's
like,
going to be great in the midfield. We need him.
Who can we convince to be Canadian? This is an interesting.
James said it's cool to be Canadian in soccer right now.
And it is.
Even with the drone thing.
Don't be Canadian.
That was a fun week. We'll be back on Monday. Everybody enjoy the weekend. We have Blue Jays baseball coming up next against Atlanta Braves. See you Monday.